Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2016. It's Sunday night, August the 7th, 9:30 on the East Coast, where my co-host Alex Kozora is back from Latrobe once again to file a report with us on the show. Alex, happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday, Dave. Yeah, today was a great day of practice. The defense won. I'll just start by saying that. They really dominated, but very physical, very intense, and a good way to kind of end things before we start. We get tomorrow's off day, and then we have the joint practices with Detroit, which are going to be a real treat, and then, of course, all getting us ready for the first game against the Lions.
I'm going to let you fill us in on the housekeeping because really Mike Tomlin the last couple of days hasn't said anything as far as injuries go, only saying that players are working their way back, and evidently Landry Jones is okay, and I think Bud Dupree's day-to-day. Mike Tomlin wouldn't fill us in on what the injury that's got Artie Burns still sidelined, but I believe Kevin Colbert a couple of nights ago during the Sirius broadcast said it was something about a quad or something along those lines. So why don't you start off by filling us in on who didn't work today?
Yeah, I'm just going to read it basically off the notes that I have. Ramon Foster was back in pads. I don't know how much teamwork he did, but it was just a day off anyway the other day, so he's going to be fine. Ben Roethlisberger got the day off. Nothing really new there. Marcus Wheaton, I don't know if it's regression or what, but he was an individual work on Saturday, and today he was in shorts and didn't do anything, so not sure if he just didn't feel right or if they're kind of doing an off-again, on-again kind of thing. Bud Dupree was in full pads today, which is new. Usually he's been wearing shorts these last couple of days, but I don't think he even did individual, and he was definitely not in team, but maybe the fact he wanted to put on pads and maybe see how he felt it's a good sign. So I don't know. I guess he's still day-to-day, closer to coming back. Landry Jones practiced in full, worked as a number one quarterback. So after that kind of scary ankle injury, that's good to see. Travis Feeney's still out in one-on-one O-line, D-line. I saw him with a big one of those ace bandages on his upper left thigh. So that might be the issue with Travis Feeney, is a left thigh, soft tissue injury. New name that was out today with an unknown injury, Cole Manhart, who's been running third team left guard. Don't know what the injury was, nothing visible to me, but of course missed time for him could be, dangerous. And then in practice, I think they were pretty healthy, at least, from my view. I know I gave Twitter a scare about Marquise Pouncey, but that was because I was scared myself. He got his leg rolled up on. I was watching it the whole way through my binoculars, and I saw him, players rolled in the back of his leg kind of bent, and he went off to the locker room for a brief moment. A trainer kind of followed behind a little ways behind, but then Pouncey came back down, went and finished up team drill, so he should be fine, which is great, because in that moment when it happened and I saw it, Dave, my heart sank and I went, oh no, please get up Marquise Pouncey.
Yeah, you look at all these, I mean, the annual injury list around the league starting to grow with serious injuries. Mm-hmm. I know Reggie Ragland in Buffalo's getting that knee, a second opinion on him. What about Ryan Shazier? Kind of judge reading by the report that Mike Pursuta put up on Steelers.com, it looks like he might have done some stuff today, or more than he's been doing.
Yeah, well, he was in team drills yesterday, so I kind of stopped paying attention to him because I would assume that he's fine. It's basically worked his whole way back. I don't know if he was in every team drill today. He definitely did individual work. So, based off of what he did Saturday, I kind of stopped paying attention to Shazier because I consider him fine, healthy, and ready to go when he's been out there.
Pursuta also has that Timmons and Mike Mitchell were kind of limited participants on Sunday as well.
But Mitchell got some work in team. They just kind of rotated him out. Mitchell got like the third team session. Shamarco Thomas replaced him with first team opposite of Golden.
All right, and Ben Roethlisberger, you made a remark on Twitter when Tomlin did really since training camp is open when Roethlisberger's either been limited or not working at all. That offense looks a lot different when not just the obvious, but the preciseness and the the overall level of enthusiasm just isn't there when Ben's not in there, right?
Yeah, it's a really weird thing, Dave. I don't know what the philosophy and kind of is behind it and the trickle down effect, but yeah, it's not even just, because obviously Ben being out, the offense isn't going to work as well, but it's just like an energy level, like you said, enthusiasm. There's just a tone and an energy that doesn't exist when Ben's, down. He was down on the field. He's talking to guys, of course, but he's not just participating. So it's a very weird thing, and I never even thought to think about that, never made that connection until Tomlin said something about how kind of, the team goes as Ben goes. So that's a very strange thing. But yeah, the defense dominated today. The offense was, well, one of their more sloppy days, I would say.
I think you said something about a football or two on the ground had Tomlin not happy.
Yeah, two botched snaps in the same team drill. One was Pouncey, and then one was the new kid, Umezuaki, or however you say it. So yeah, it was a sloppier day today, especially with the center quarterback exchange, which had been really good throughout camp and very surprising and very encouraging. Had a little regression
A little bit of 5 days straight might have something to do with it,
today.
huh?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's definitely a good point. Kind of the dog days of camp, but yeah. But I'll give guys credit. No major fights have broken out, so I'm sure that might change when the Lions come to town. But I give those guys props for being professional and letting things go at the end of plays.
All right, let's start off with the offensive line. Still flip-flopping, obviously, with Ryan Harris and Alejandro Villanueva. Yeah, I know it's hard to judge an offensive line at the angle that you're at, but in drills or what anything new kind of stick out to you?
Yeah, I thought I saw some things today. Chris Hubbard continues to get work at center in team drills. I know people ask about that. I thought Hubbard and Finney both had nice days in one-on-one. I thought Hubbard probably handled Javon Hargrave as well as basically anybody has so far in one-on-one. They went together twice, and I think Hubbard won them both, or at least it wasn't obvious that Hargrave dominated. So maybe they're kind of figuring Hargrave out a little bit, and I think just Hubbard's a better than, kind of talked about player. Not a great player, maybe not even a good player, but a better than kind of given credit for type of player. So that Hubbard had a nice day. Brian Mahalik, Mahalik is not a guy that looks like it's his first rodeo playing offensive tackle. It looks like he's been playing tackle his whole college career. So I think there's a real, like I've said before, I think there's a real strong chance he makes the practice squad. We got to see what happens in game, of course, but I think Mahalik's had himself a nice body of work. And then just to tease an article I'm going to do tomorrow, late last night, I was going through and I charted all the O-line, D-line reps and who won and who lost, and I've kind of tallied things up. So I'm going to post the results of, who's winning in O-line, D-line, and kind of their player breakdowns. That'll go up in the morning on Steelers Depot.
Do you foresee a guy like rookie Gerald Hawkins getting probably during the preseason most of the snaps on the left or right side with maybe Mahalik on say the right side?
That's a good question. I wonder how they're going to approach with the third team, just because they're still short kind of bodies. I mean, when the second team O-line comes in, it's going to be Hawkins at right tackle. When the third team comes in, which might not, they might only get a series or two, so it might not be a big deal. They might. Let me think. To answer the question, I think Hawkins is going to be right tackle the whole way through for this first game, because second team comes in, he's definitely going to be right tackle. And then when the third team comes in, Brian Mahalik is going to play left tackle. I'm almost sure of that. And they're going to keep Hawkins at right tackle. So yeah, Hawkins is probably going to be at right tackle for this Lions game.
Do you think we'll see any Chris Hubbard at tackle?
A tackle? No, I don't think there's a chance of that. They got to give Mahalik and Hawkins their snaps. So, nope. I think Hubbard's going to be interior guard, maybe center. We'll see how that goes.
All righty. Anything else to add about the offensive line?
Just a lot. They allowed a lot of pressure today, and again, that's kind of without Ben being there, the tone and energy goes down. But things got kind of a little messy today along the offensive line. The pocket collapse and guys winning around the edge. Ryan Harris had a pretty bad day. I saw some other guys that were covering it kind of say the same thing. Not Ryan Harris's best day. He allowed I think Mike Riley to smoke him in the 2 minute drill today, and he kind of got a quote unquote sack. So yeah, not Harris's best day.
Well, I had the NFL Network on today, that top 100 show, and got to the point where they were going through Khalil Mack, and they had that one clip in there where he just runs over Ryan Harris in there. But Ryan Harris, as we've said all along, not a flashy guy, serviceable. I mean, look, he played on a team and won the Super Bowl. So that's good for something. What that something is, We'll see, but no indication whatsoever that he's going to beat out Villanueva, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're still flip-flopping him, so, maybe they'll give some clarity after the first preseason game or something, but I think it's going to be Villanueva. I've said that all along, and I think Harris is better as the backup because he's a lot more comfortable and experienced on the right side, and, Villanueva's not there. He's been a left tackle, even though he's played right side in some practices, but, yeah, I think it's going to be Villanueva. Unless he really falls on his face, he's going to be the opening day starter.
And he looks a lot more comfortable, right?
Yeah, he's been good. Yeah, I thought he got more comfortable at the end of last year. Being with Ramon Foster helps a lot. The guys will try to rip under him because he's 6'9", and he's easy guy to get low under. But I think Villanueva, as camp has gone on, has kind of gotten better at defending that and kind of making sure he's sealing guys up and probably using his hands better and whatever it is exactly that he's defending that rip move from. So yeah, I think Villanueva's had a fine camp.
All right, tight end. Of course, Ladarius Green still on the active PUP list. Evidently still working on the side with the trainers. Xavier Grimble still able to stay on the field last several practices, so that's good. You made a comment today about him attacking that blocking sled, I think.
I did, night and day for Xavier Grimble. That first day, he was popping up so high, his hand placement wasn't right. He wasn't getting under the sled and being able to drive up with power and to generate some explosion. Now he's a lot better and it looks a lot more natural to him. So, you see the progression there. So that was one point I was going to make, Dave. The other one was I just thought Jesse James has continued to make some plays in team drills. He was a little quiet early as a receiver, kind of the first couple days of camp. He's come on strong. He had another catch down the seam today. Had one underneath that was kind of high from Landry Jones. He plucked off his head with Chickalo in coverage, kind of breathing down his neck. So Jesse James stringing together a couple of nice practices and encouraged by his work.
You still seeing Roosevelt Nix into the line of scrimmage at times?
Yeah, a little bit. It's mostly off ball. Sometimes they'll line him up there and motion him into the backfield and do some different stuff with him. I wouldn't anticipate him playing a lot there, but I think they want to give him those reps just in case in game they want to, if there's an injury or if they want to mix up their personnel grouping and their formation to give a different look, then they might go with that. He can move a little bit. I think, I don't know, maybe he might have slimmed down a little bit. He looks a little bit, in better shape and has a little bit of spring to his step. So he's still Roosevelt Nix. We'll still crack your skull. But yeah, I think he's moving out there pretty well.
Does David Johnson look like a different player than he did the last time he was in Pittsburgh?
Honestly, Dave, he looks like the same exact guy. I mean, I'm not totally sure about weight and stuff, but he's just that nasty blocker who's going to win the point of attack, plays with good technique, great lower leg drive, finishes plays, good hand placement, keeps him inside. So in terms of what his skill set is, it looks identical to what he did in Pittsburgh.
Alrighty, running back position. Who's shown you what?
Two notes today on that. Again, I kind of mentioned it in the past, but Fitzgerald Toussaint is a real asset in pass protection, so you're really encouraged with that, that if he ever had to be a three-down guy or play on some third downs, I think I'm confident in Fitzgerald Toussaint being able to do that. The other note was I like Brandon Brown Duke's ability to create. There was one play today where Ricardo Matthews knifed in on his own run to the right and kind of got in the backfield, and Brown Duke was able to reverse course, and I think he outran a defender. He outran Vinipaul and Duke, right, Vinipaul. Ball and he turned what would have been a 3-yard loss into a 10-yard gain. So that's something you try to look for with a running back, is can you create, or are you getting just what's blocked? Anybody off the street can get what's blocked, but whenever the play breaks down and things go bad, can you create? And I thought Brown Dukes had a couple of nice runs today. He's just a small guy. He gets behind some of those big uglies and you just lose sight of him, and he's able to kind of find a space, and he doesn't dance, he hits the hole, he gets upfield, he has a little bit of speed and some wiggle to his game. So there's an intriguing skill set there.
So definitely still in the running to be a candidate for the 10-man practice squad.
Yeah, still in the running. I don't discount it. He's still in there with Richardson. Maybe Stingley's fallen behind a little bit, but Stingley's done, a couple of good things. I think Stingley's issue is just he's not a natural out of the backfield. He's worked at it hard, and I give him credit because he was not asked to be a receiver at Northern Illinois. He had 7 career catches, but he's just not a real natural. I think Richardson is definitely better out of the backfield. Brown Dukes is probably better as well. So, if you had to make a real, real rough kind of pecking order right now, I'd still put Richardson 1, Brown Dukes 2, Stingley 3, and then Christian Powell a distant 4. But we got a long ways to go. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Well, let's see what happens in game and who stays healthy. And, once guys start getting beat up in games, who knows how the injury, dice is going to roll. So long ways to go. But like I said, they've all shown good things. But Richardson at the top, Brown Dukes 2nd, and Stingley for me on a very personal level.
Talk to me about Kobe Hamilton now that you've seen him have three practices, moving on over to the wide receiver position.
He's got a little burst. He's got a little speed to him. He's been used in the return drill, and he got one kickoff return, I think, on the Friday Night Lights practice. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he's got some speed, but, you know, there's a lot of receivers on the street that have their speed. So he's made one catch in team drills. It actually was a nice catch, you know, I think a sliding catch behind him. But, you know, it's just tough to try to get thrown into the fire and then try to make plays and while you're still learning everything. So, you know, he's not totally lost out there. There's some burst to him, but it's obviously a real uphill battle.
Kind of reading in between the lines on some Twitter stuff. Sounds like DeMarcus Ayers had a decent day.
He had a couple catches. They were mostly uncontested, though. There was the one in the 2-minute drill with the second team. You know, the coaches should have blown the play dead. There was like a crazy amount of pressure, and they just let it play on. And DeMarcus Ayers was wide open, middle of the field, no one within 10 yards of him for a touchdown. So he, you know, he had a couple catches, but I don't think he did anything particular today that was like a difficult catch or a contested catch or anything like that.
Assuming Eli Rogers is at fifth, and probably no reason to not think that won't ultimately happen, barring somebody off the waiver wire late or something along those lines. Let's assume he is number five on the 53-man roster. Who's your best shot at you know, how many wide receivers do you think make this practice squad? And if it's two, who's leading candidates right now?
It's an excellent question, Dave. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine while we were watching practice today. I think still the loser of Rogers Ayers, and right now it's very likely looking to be DeMarcus Ayers, still makes the practice squad, just in case of an injury, you know, just because he's a draft pick, there's some, you know, status there. It's not no guarantee, I know, but I think Ayers will make it, so that's one. And if they do keep another, and they have before, I don't know if they will this time, but they have before, I think it might be Isaac Blakeney, just because he's going to be a bigger guy, a guy that's going to play on the outside, who can kind of mimic A.J. Green on the scout team. You know, I've been impressed by Blakeney. He's got a nice pair of hands. He's a pretty easy mover for how big he is. Of course, his size is a, you know, obviously innate advantage that he has. He's, what, 6'5", 6'6". And he's made, you know, plays before. He had a nice catch today on a dig route. He's quick to the duck. He's a long strider with some build-up speed. And once he gets going, you know, he can cover some ground. So, you know, a guy like Levi Norwood, I think, has had a decent camp. I don't have a whole lot bad to say about him, but he's just kind of that tweener. While, you know, he has some return value and he can kind of be a guy in the slot when you have Rodgers, when you're probably going to keep DeMarcus Ayers, you know, what's the role for Levi Norwood? So I think on other teams maybe that need that extra guy, he could make a team. But in Pittsburgh, I think it's going to be really hard to do. So if I had to guess today, if you were going to keep two practice squad receivers, DeMarcus Ayers and Isaac Blakeney.
Quick update on Sammy Coates the last couple of nights, and Eli Rogers still doing his thing.
Yeah, both are doing fine. Coates is still making catches. You know, that initial step and that initial quickness once he gets the ball and going upfield is pretty impressive. He might not have any super crazy catches, but he's been, you know, just steady. And that's what I said before. The consistency was more important to me than the big plays. We know he can make big plays. He's got the size, the triangle numbers, all that fun stuff that got him drafted. But he's been very consistent. He's not letting the ball hit the ground. He's quick to the tuck. You know, he's not dancing. He's getting upfield. He's getting that yak. So, yeah, Sammy Coates has been doing just fine.
As far as Todd Haley's offense goes, look, you and I have seen him his entire career here. We digested a lot of tape over that time. We know what Todd Haley likes to do. We know how Todd Haley really doesn't get enough credit for what he does with the window dressing and stuff, and how really he can run the same play out of five different formations and three different personnel groupings, that kind of stuff. Is there anything that has stuck out to you scheme wise where you go, man, Alex, I'm not sure I've seen this little wrinkle or seen this or seen that? I mean, obviously you got the split zone stuff, you got the zone runs, you've got the power stuff, the stuff that you're gonna have in the offense. But anything else kind of stick out to you so far?
The big thing I would say, and I actually was asked about that when I was on the Josh Taylor show last week, was I'm seeing some empty set out of, like, you know, 12 personnel and some heavier looks. So I don't know if that's something they're just doing because they have the bodies or if they want to do that in game, but I think they might do some things where they're going to come out looking like they're going to be in a heavy run set with, two tight ends, maybe a fullback and maybe 22 personnel, and then they spread you out empty and they try to get some mismatches. When you have, let's say Ladarius Green and Jesse James, two guys that are 6'6 and 6'7, Green, James might not be the fastest, but both of them are going to have that height advantage. So now you're getting them on linebackers that are 6'3, 6'4. So now you have some matchup advantage there, and of course, Ladarius Green has the speed to beat most linebackers in this league. So, that's something I've seen multiple times, and I think that's kind of the new thing that I've seen is that empty set out of a heavy look. And I think it's interesting, not something you're going to use a lot, but enough to kind of keep the defense on their toes.
And of course, they'll always have that option, assuming have Bell and Williams together at the same time. We're not going to, obviously, we're not going to see it 15 times a game, but we can see two or three, four times a game where both those guys are out there, and then they motion, they line one of them up on outside, and then the other one goes out in motion out there in the slot, kind of like they did against what the Rams. In fact, they opened that Rams game up that way, empty set, and then of course, we saw that the Wildcat when Roethlisberger was out, that kind of stuff. But I mean, when you talk about empty sets, we probably shouldn't expect to see that a lot, though, right?
The pony or the empty out of heavy personnel?
Just empty, period.
Yeah, you're not going to see it a lot, just because it limits you protection wise. You have to be careful if the defense is going to bring six, if they're going to bring overloads. Overloads can really screw up your protection. So no, not a lot. But again, like you said, Haley's going to throw everything at you and force you to be able to game plan for and defend everything. And I think that you're going to see your traditional empty, with Bell motion out. They've done that a bunch too. But I think you're going to see some empty out of some heavy looks, just to give the defense another thing to have to consider.
Switching over to the defensive side of the ball and the defensive line, LT Walton and Keshawd Lyons. My understanding is Lyons, John Mitchell, I think it was yesterday or the night before, made Lyons do a drill or do a rep four different times. Is that gap between Walton and Keshawd Lyons kind of, growing?
I don't know about growing. I think Walton's having a decent camp. I don't think it's spectacular. He's not really in my reports that often. I haven't seen any kind of huge plays from him. I like his effort of the football. He looks in great shape. He's doing some okay things, but like I said, I think that Walton is still that last guy onto the boat, and I think Lyons might be the first guy onto the practice squad. So, yeah, I'm really interested in game because I feel like I still have not learned enough about LT Walton to properly evaluate him. So I definitely want to get a good look at him in game. One guy that's maybe trying to make a push with Lyons for a practice squad spot is Devontae Sigler. Yeah, like I said, he's kind of that about one play a day kind of guy, and he made a play in team drill today. He did well in one-on-one. I think he won both his reps today. So Sigler's got some moves. He's a pretty good athlete. Once he got himself conditioned, we all know he missed the first like 4 days of practice, because he was on the NFI with I guess poor conditioning. He's making some plays, so I thought Sigler continues to make me talk about him a little bit.
I've seen you tweet a little bit about Ricardo Matthews too.
Yeah, thank you. I totally forgot about him. How dare I? But yeah, Matthews had a really nice camp. Again, blew up two zone plays today. He's a guy that can work down against inside zone, outside zone, and be able to defeat those reach blocks and get in the backfield and create penetration. So basically, the opposite of what Cam Thomas was able to do. So yeah, Matthews, I think, has been a real quality add. Like I said, he gives you versatility. He's a sound athlete. And he's got a great haircut. He's got the dread, so if you like that, he's easy to find. He's easy for me to identify him out there, which helps too.
And Javon Hargrave continuing on his nice camp so far.
Yeah, I thought he had some trouble today in team drill. I thought Hubbard beat him up a little bit. So Hargrave is still doing well. If you saw the post I had this morning, he's won 70% of his reps before today. He lost both today, so that number is going to come down a little bit. Do I think? Two-thirds, I think 10-5 is his record. But yeah, Hargrave is doing his thing. Kim Hayward dominated Cody Wallace today. Wallace has kind of had a rough camp. I'm charting the numbers, and you're going to be surprised by Cody Wallace's win-loss record in one-on-ones. But there was one play where Hayward, it was a run play, and Hayward just gets under Wallace, under his pads, just pushes him off, knocks him off his feet, puts him in the ground, 5 yards in the backfield. It's just, you talk about dominating a guy, Cam Hayward dominated Cody Wallace in that play today.
You would think, I mean, and there's no reason to think Cody Wallace won't make the roster right now, but you would think this is it for him, right?
I don't know about this is it. I don't think about last year's and that kind of thing right now. I think he'll still make the roster. You know, he's got a bigger body of work than a couple of practices and training camp. He's been playing a lot of Sunday football, so I don't think it's a detrimental to him. I just think he's not having a great camp. I think in one-on-ones, his lack of athleticism gets exposed. Guys can out-leverage him. Guys are just simply stronger and can kind of overwhelm him, will give him fits. So you kind of know my thoughts on Cody Wallace. We basically share the same idea. You know, short-term Band-Aid, okay. But long-term, though, he's going to get exposed. So not a great camp for Cody Wallace, but his spot should still be safe.
Yeah, I don't want to go through another 16 games having to having to watch that on the all-22 from the end zone.
he works his butt off. He finishes plays. I know that's why a lot of people around the league love him, and I get that. But pass protection and that kind of stuff is not his forte.
Yeah. Okay. We spent a lot of time kind of talking about outside linebackers, I think, last night. Let's go back inside and talk about Vince Williams and Steven Johnson and Matakevich and those guys. And where's LJ Fort been in lately?
He's still running ahead of both Johnson and Matakevich. I know Tomlin says don't read into that too much, but sorry, Mike, that's my job here. And
that's what we do. We speculate.
Yeah, professional speculators. That's on the business card. But yeah, Ford had a big pop today. Whole linebackers were flying around. The inside guys, Vince Williams had some nasty hits today. They were very Vince Williams type hits. Matakevich was kind of flying around the place. Steven Johnson had a couple nice tackles. Ford stood up. Stingley was him and Stingley in the hole, and Ford was a low man. And you know how that goes. Low man wins. And he brought Stingley down. So linebackers, they brought the hit today. They brought the pain, and they dished it out to anyone who was coming after him.
Remember a few years ago we were worried about the inside linebacker depth? I mean, you turn around and, oh, man, where did everything go? And, you know, they made it through that okay. And now, I mean, this might even be a better inside linebacker group than last year's, right? I mean, because, I mean, quite honestly, Terrence Garvin, other than being a special teamers, you know, you go back and you look at the charting on that, poor bless that guy's heart. That guy was, for the amount of snaps he played, which wasn't much, I think he had touchdown. He was on the field, like eight of those plays were touchdowns, you know, because he normally came onto the field in kind of like goal line situations. And then, you know, asked to cover a tight end or something like that. And obviously Sean Spence is gone now too. Is this shaping up at maybe being a better inside linebacker group from top to bottom this year?
Well, it depends how you define better. I think defensive prospects, you know, could be better. Matakevich, if he has a future here, you know, LJ Fort's doing some nice things. But special teams, though, just remains to be seen. I think it's going to be hard to beat special teams kind of ability that, you know, especially Garvin had and Sean Spence had some of it as well. It's tough to replace a guy like Terrence Garvin in that kind of facet. And I saw Steven Johnson was not on first team punt coverage today, and Matakevich actually took a spot. So, read into that what you will. But I just assumed that Johnson was going to kind of take all of Garvin's spots. That might not be the case. We'll have to let this first game kind of give us a better idea. Defensively, maybe there's some better long-term prospects, especially with Matakevich, but special teams kind of remains to be seen.
All right, and the outside guys. Bud Dupree's working his way back, evidently from a bruised groin. I will not speculate on this groin injury. but, you know, hopefully he's going to get back sooner rather than later because, let's face it, he needs to start getting in there on a regular basis. He's hoping to get back for these couple of practices next week against Detroit. That would be nice to see. What else is going on outside?
Not much. I'll just run through it real quick. Jordan Zumwalt, you know, he might occasionally corner the edge against Golden Mahalik, but he's just his first step is pretty average. It's just like it's the first step of an inside linebacker who's been moved outside. And honestly, I think I'd take Mike Riley over Jordan Zumwalt. If I was making a practice squad, I think Riley's a better athlete. I think he's got a better, you know, flexibility and ability to get low and corner. He's got a better first step, and I love his effort to the football. Zumwalt has a good effort, but I think they're pretty equal in that regard. And if it was me making that decision, based off of what I've seen so far, I take Mike Riley over Jordan Zumwalt.
Wow. That probably not overly surprising if you ask me, but knowing what I know about Zumwalt, I mean, the big thing with Zumwalt right now is at least he's on the field.
Right, yeah, he's gotten every rep, and that's good for him.
And that's something that we haven't seen over the first couple of years of his career. Now, how much longer it lasts is yet to it will last is yet to be seen. Probably not. Probably he probably
August 31st, September 1st.
first round of cuts.
Yeah, I don't know. He might be on that cut to 75, but if not, he's not making the 53 in practice squad. I think that
absolutely.
door is closing up.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. You said Shazier did some work today.
Yeah, I think he was in team or individual. He's fine though. You know, he was in team Saturday for sure. I saw him out there in different parts. I'll move to cornerback here real quick. Just a couple notes there. They got an interception. Defensive backs have an interception. That was the first one at camp. William Gay picked off Landry Jones. It was miscommunication, I'm pretty sure, between AB and Jones. AB ran an in-breaking route, and I think Landry Jones threw it outside, and Gay made a nice leaping play. So that's good for him. Montel Gardner might have had the hit of the day, and those were words I never thought I'd say, Dave, is that a cornerback had the hit of the day, but he just lit up Daryl Richardson on the perimeter, and everyone just kind of went wild. So, you know, Garner's a guy that could make the practice squad. He's got good ball skills. He's played all three corner spots. Yeah, he got a lot of work in the slot today. I don't think Sean Davis really got a whole lot of work in the slot today. I'm not sure if I missed something or if I'm reading into it too much or what, but Garner is a guy that I think is a nice guy to have on your practice squad.
Guy that I wrote about this morning, Ross Cockrell, is he having, an okay camp?
Yeah, I'd say it's okay. He just gets pitted against AB and Sammy Coates all the time because so many, especially with Artie Burns out of the lineup, there's no one really else they're going to even challenge against Antonio Brown. So he kind of gets put in a tough situation. The numbers I'm going to show tomorrow are the charting of the one-on-ones. Cockrell's number is probably going to be close to the worst of the DBs, but it's not, you know, again, he's going against AB and Coates. You know, put him against Marcus Tucker and, you know, DeMarcus Ayers, and his numbers are going to be a lot better. It just hasn't, you know, he's been the guy that's forced to deal with AB for an entire camp, and that's not an enviable place to be in.
Quick update on Duran Grant and Kevin White.
White's gotten work in the slot. He had a nice practice. What was it, Saturday? Friday, Saturday? The days are running together. Duran Grant, he got some run with the first team, with William Gay sort of limited, and Artie Burns, of course, out. He's played both outside corner spots. Like I said, I think he's gotten better from the start of camp to now, and that's kind of what you look for in those young guys. Nothing really stuck out for me today, I don't think, but I think overall he's gotten kind of better day by day, and that's always good to see.
And Grant's obviously, I mean, I thought he would have showed up better than he did last year when given the opportunity on special teams. That's one guy, if you want to watch Dorian Grant more than anything during the preseason, it's how he probably can function maybe as a gunner, right?
Yeah, you're gonna have to. There's still that other spot open. I assume Shamarcus Thomas is gonna be a gunner. The other spot's a little up in the air. Maybe Darius Heyward-Bey, maybe Artie Burns, but Duran Grant could definitely take that spot if he performs well. So that'll be something to watch against Detroit.
All right, the safeties. Shamarco running first team.
Yeah, Shamarco and Golden when Mitchell was sort of limited. Then he ran second team when Mitchell was put back in there in team drills. Just big hits today. Not a whole lot to really offer in coverage, but Jordan Dangerfield, that's what he does. I mean, he just, there was one play in the goal line session. Stingley tried to bounce it to the left, and David Johnson's the lead blocker. He tries to get into Dangerfield. Dangerfield keeps his outside arm free, gets off the block, and just takes down Stingley. I mean, Dangerfield is just a missile. He's really fun to watch, but he's kind of still the same player that he's always been. I'm not sure if the coverage is good enough to get him on the 53.
Anything stick out that you could see in the goal line drill or in the seven shots today?
That stuck out. Golden had a nice play. They threw up the one play action. The one pass they had was a little out route to Grimble, and Golden kind of put his shoulder into it and broke it up. So that was a nice play. Big Dan clogs up the middle. He's a tough guy to move. He disrupted one play today. Let me think. They ran that. They're still pulling the guard in the goal line, so I know we're not crazy about that. It's a little skip pull that they do with the Castro. It worked twice, though. It actually, they were tied 3-3. It was the last rep to determine the winner, and they pulled the Castro right to left, and Stingley followed behind. So as much as we kind of aren't big fans of creating gaps by pulling guards on the goal line, it's something they do, and it worked twice today.
We'll just have to deal with it then.
Yeah, we'll the filing of grievances.
Yeah. Hey. Quarterbacks, we Jones and Dustin Vaughn.
Devon, it was just a sloppy day for the offense. It just guys weren't getting open. There were bad snaps. There were maybe like one or two drops. A lot of pressure being allowed. Kind of muddied the pocket up pretty good. Devon had to take off for his life several times. Landry Jones scrambled once in 2 minutes. Kind of a tough day to evaluate the quarterbacks. I will say, although Landry Jones still kind of forces some passes and it kind of makes you a little queasy, he's getting the ball out quick. That internal clock from where it was last year, 180 degrees difference. Not a surprise after being in Sunday football. I'm sure that kind of changes your perspective and everything feels pretty easy compared to Sunday football in stadiums. But Landry Jones' internal clock a lot better. He's the number two quarterback this year to Ben Roethlisberger, no doubt about it.
Can Jordan Berry renew his lease?
He had another nice day today, Dave. His hang times, I put him up on Depot, my very much unofficial time. What, six of the seven were at least 4.85 seconds, and I think three or four were 5 seconds, and they were getting distance too, 50 yarders, 45 yarders. He was coffin corner and pinning them well. While Will Monday struggled in that regard, his distance was poor. He had one that was like 30 yards. His hang time overall was poor. Only one of, I think, his seven were 4.85 seconds or more, again, compared to Barry's six. And he shanked one pretty bad today. Maybe the pressure got to him a little bit. Mike Tomlin literally stood right behind him and just watched him punt. And a little bit of pressure on the punters. And I thought Barry had a nice day. Monday, not his best effort.
Poor Matt Dooley. We haven't even mentioned his name during this.
I wrote him in the report today just to get his name in there. He was long snapping a little bit today, and the snaps were crisp. So go, Matt Dooley.
Yeah, Greg Warren's fixing to snap him right out of camp. A few years ago, they got that kid out of Hawaii, and I said, you know what? This kid can fire it back there. Had that trick shot video. I said, maybe this is the. I think my original prediction was maybe this kid is the kid that finally unseats Greg Warren. And like 2 days after that, they snapped that kid out of Hawaii. You remember even remember his name?
Luke Ingram.
Ah, good call,
Ingram.
Good call. Yeah,
Yeah.
Greg Warren snapped him right out of camp. You have to figure, roster spaces, can't envision Matt Dooley having much value to the team right now. So they, he's probably on a short leash right now as it is. But at least we said his name on the podcast here. Anything else? Any overarching kind of things about the defense scheme wise? You seeing some of that 4-3 stack, kind of stuff we've seen them experiment with.
Yep, like I said before, I can't. I gotta think of a good name to describe that. I've called it the faux 4-3. It's a tilted nose. Go turn on the 49ers game if you're trying to figure out what I'm talking about, and you'll see that a lot. That's kind of the game that it came up the most. You're gonna see it this year. I'm still trying to figure out against what personnel groupings and formations they use it, because I don't have a good feel for that yet. But they are gonna use it, and it's not out of the playbook, and it's gonna be interesting to watch.
And no football for us to watch tonight. The Pro Football Hall of Fame game got canceled. How does something like that happen, Alex?
Dave, I don't get mad. I am so mad about that. I was really hoping for some football. I turned at 8 o'clock. I turned the TV on because I didn't realize the game had been canceled. NFL Network. I'm like, what the heck? It's just, I can't imagine being a rookie or a UDFA right now, saying this is my chance to get my first impression in, and now I gotta wait. It's just. I am so frustrated, and shame on the league for not being able to. I know it was the paint, it wasn't the turf, but same thing. Take care of your field, make sure these players get the chance to be able to play. It's super frustrating.
And this turns out this field is the hand-me-down field from the Saints.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a new field. It's a new old field. It's the Tom Benson donated the old field out of the Superdome. So they actually got a new field, but they put the wrong paint on it or what have you, and it just a mess.
$10 billion league, and they can't get the paint or new turf in. I mean, come on, ridiculous.
Yeah, that really is sad. Who is that? I feel bad for that Packers quarterback that was going to start tonight.
Joe Callahan, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get a lot of snaps as it is, mm-hmm. And you get a chance in a fifth preseason game where he was probably going to see a lot of action, and then now all of a sudden, poof, it's gone.
And I know people say, well, there's four games left, but if you're a young guy, if you're a UDFA, if you're a bubble guy, you don't have four games. You really have two, because the third game is going to be dominated by the starters for about a half, maybe a little bit more. In that fourth game, That's before, you know, we have our cut down to 75 before that fourth game. So if you're, there's 15 guys that are on this Packers roster now that's not going to make it to that fourth game. So in reality, you really only have two games to get actual reps and get into a rhythm and have a body of work. So it's not four games if you're the UDFA trying to make this team or this practice squad.
He's had that probably circled on his calendar. You have to think his mom and dad were probably
They're probably there.
Just what a joke. No sense spending more time on that. Alex, any winners, losers real quick?
Yeah, I'll just go through them really, really quick. Dangerfield, just for being the guy who gets no respect and just knocks everyone's heads off. Chris Hubbard, I thought, had a nice day today in one-on-ones. You take on Javon Hargrave and come out looking good. I'll give you the nod. Losers, Ryan Harris, bad day, giving up the edge too often. And then just the whole offense in general, really, just not a very sharp, crisp kind of day. And they've been good so far in camp today, though. The defense, again, won the day.
All right, great. Alex, I always appreciate you painting the pictures that you paint, not only on Twitter, but in your reports and then on the podcast, too. Thank you for me, and I'm sure a lot of listeners appreciate it as well. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Kazor. You can follow my co-host, David Todd, at David M. Todd. Hopefully, me and David will be able to do a show Monday morning. That's the plan right now, so stay tuned for that. Obviously, no podcast tomorrow night. The Steelers are off. They'll return to practice on Tuesday, so that ought to be interesting with Alex following a report after that scrimmage with the Detroit Lions. Let's see. Email us, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Folks, thanks for listening. And as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, and tonight, Alex Kazora.